Democratic presidential candidates in New Hampshire have been visiting local pizzerias, delivering speeches at town hall meetings, and dropping by elementary schools for months now. Commentator Lois Shea says that for teaching children about democracy, there's no place like New Hampshire.
I broke my first federal law when I was 6 years old. It was 1972. My crime was voting. I was an underage, unregistered scofflaw. My father was my accomplice. He picked me up inside the voting booth and handed me the pencil. This is one of those visceral childhood memories. Voting, for me, will always smell of sharpened pencils and the chainsaw oil on my father's shirt. Boosted high up there in the voting booth, I marked my careful X next to George McGovern's name. I marched out, put our ballot in the box, and turned the crank. Now that's power. They say early participation leads to a lifetime habit of voting. I was hooked right there. In New Hampshire, early participation is almost unavoidable. Kids are carried to town meeting as babes in arms, weaned on warrants and bond issues. The presidential primary is constant, candidates and campaign signs as much a part of the landscape as birches and stone walls. Last primary season, I heard a kid in a Concord pizza shop singing a tuneless little song. It went something like this. La la loo, Big Bird, la hum he, Bill Bradley, do do do, John McCain. Only in New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, kids think it's normal for presidential candidates to visit their classroom, stop in at their local bookstores, and work the crowd at the church's pancake breakfast. My daughter has a notebook in which she composes her questions for the candidates and collects autographs and campaign stickers. She merrily rides along to the VFW hall, sets herself up in the second row, and asks retired General Wesley Clark exactly what he would do to make schools better for kids. Kids in New Hampshire get to high-five John Kerry, meet Joe Lieberman in their classmates' living rooms, ask Howard Dean how he would make it so there would be no more war in Iraq. In the rest of the country, politicians get by with kissing babies. Here they have to answer their foreign policy questions. And when a United States senator gets down on one knee, looks a child in the eye, and answers his question, kids get the message that their opinions matter. I tell my daughter that it's not like this everywhere, that kids in California and New York and even right in Massachusetts don't get to meet the people running for president. Don't get to shake their hands and ask them questions. This seems preposterous to her. But, Mom, how do they decide who to vote for? Good question. But somehow, the youngest eligible voters still manage to miss the point. Even here, in the state where politics smack you between the eyes, only about a quarter to a third of eligible 18 to 25-year-olds vote in presidential elections. That's better than much of the rest of the country, but it's still pathetic. But maybe the trick, as much as voting projects and straw polls in elementary schools, as much as boosting the civics curriculum, is true early involvement. My daughter was a 4-year-old unregistered scofflaw when she cast her first presidential primary ballot. I lifted her up and handed her the pencil, and she marked her careful X in the box. At 8, she's a seasoned political pragmatist. This year she may even be tall enough to vote without a boost. My daughter won't be eligible to vote on her own ballot for another decade, but she's already hooked. Last time we were going to vote, she insisted on bringing her doll. She said she needed to teach the baby about voting.
The comments of Lois Shea, a writer who lives in New Hampshire.